Old Testament reading for today is Isaiah 43, 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise up. They are extinguished, quenched, like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading is Philippians 3, 4b through 14. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Not having a righteousness of my own, that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. What a wonderful thing to trust in. A foundation, a cornerstone, as we talked about, that is nice and sturdy, that holds up the whole Christian church on earth. The Bible talks about how we're built into a temple, we're living stones, and it has this imagery time and time again of God building up his church. And we know it's all built on Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. What he did when he died on the cross to pay for the sins of the whole world. What he did for us in being the only true and perfect obedient man to ever walk this world. When he was God incarnate, living a perfect life, to give it to you and to me. His perfect life for us, Paul does a great job of showing just how much better it could be than it was than anything we ever could do would be. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes, you know, saying, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And he goes to list these perfect fulfillments of God's law. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was the one who did it just right. If following the law got you to heaven, if you could truly do it, he says, I was the one to do it. Cream of the crop, poster boy for the Jewish religion, this is the guy. If we're going to elect, you know, next president, they wouldn't do that, of course. This is the one we would do so. We would put him out there. He is the one who's been following God's law perfectly. Even a Pharisee, this, you may know the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're these two different leaders. The Pharisees, they believed in an afterlife, and they believed that following God's law got you there. Different so with the Sadducees. This guy knew what he was doing, and he knew what he was doing it for. And then in verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. All of those good things I did, that perfect life I was leading, complete rubbish, complete loss, nothing in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Coming with that understanding and that mindset from Paul, that hopefully gives a color to how we see the parable and the Old Testament quotation that Jesus gives. This idea of this vineyard planted and these people who would think, oh, we can take it for our own. Casting out the previous servants, ultimately getting to the son and killing him and throwing him out. As I said during the children's message, I like it when Jesus helps us understand parables just in case we get lost. I love it when the disciples are recorded in the Bible of saying, Jesus, what did you mean? And then he tells them, and we get to have it too. I'm like, oh, thank you. We're so appreciative. This is another one of those situations where Jesus really wants people to understand. And sure enough, the scribes and the chief priests, they realize what he's doing and what he's saying. They get it. and because of it, they want to kill him. He's saying they are those awful people who would beat and throw out the different servants of the owner of the vineyard. They are the ones who would wound and cast out in their history many prophets, many people who had been brought to share God's word of calling them to repentance, saying, no, we don't want to. Often, many of those prophets beaten or killed. John the Baptist, of course, right before Jesus then. So he says, you leaders of God's people, you are these awful tenants. You are the ones who've been doing this. And then he gets to talking, of course, about the Son. They would say, let us kill him. If we get rid of him, this is all ours. Everything that the owner of this vineyard has put together, all of it, God's own people even, we can make it our own. We can be in charge of it. We can do it better than God would do it. And we understand far greater what that should be for us. And of course, then, he says, they will throw out the Son and kill him. Ironically, our reading today ends with them saying, you know what we should do? Throw him out and kill him. Jesus is a prophet, and he is explaining what's going to happen. But he lays before them and before us this wonderful point. In verse 17, he looked directly at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Switching parables and switching images, we go out of a vineyard, out of these tenants, and we go to a building site. Put on your hard hat here. And at this building site, the builders who are there at this beautiful, glorious building being constructed, they see the stone that's supposed to be the cornerstone, kind of important, like the one who designed it and planned everything in advance said, this is a really important piece, here you go, make sure you use it appropriately. And they said, no, we don't need that. We're going to kick it out. We're going to throw out this rock. And we can do it better ourselves. And then, this is something that was always confusing to me. I don't know if you always understood it better than I did. We read in verse 18, everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. I don't know. I don't think too often of stepping on a stone and hurting myself or falling on it and hurting myself. And I know if I had a hard hat on, I might be safe. But of course, if you drop a cornerstone on me from above, it'll take me out, I imagine. I wasn't sure if maybe we're supposed to get something different from this, but spending time looking at it, we can at the very least see the cornerstone, when rejected and not used in the building, is there only for destruction, in fact. For the leaders of God's people, the ones who are supposed to be following him and listening to him to help build up his church on earth, this holy temple, they should be listening to Jesus. They should be taking what he has and building their faith on it. And yet, as we read, and as we know will happen soon after, they seek to kill him. They remove Jesus from the equation and say, we can do better on our own. We know better. And Jesus tells us what happens to the people who treat the cornerstone that way. There is only death and destruction. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's always hard, especially using things like that in children's messages. Thanks, kids. This is the truth, though. Without Jesus, there is only death and destruction. As Paul said, even if you did everything just right, even if you followed the law perfectly, it's all loss in comparison to what Jesus has to offer. Jesus Christ is the only one our faith, our hope, can be built on top of. If it's built on our own works and our own doings, it's only going to crumble. It's only going to lead to shattered hopes and dreams. And at the end of our lives, we would only see destruction. We would not be with God. We would not be in heaven. It is only through Jesus Christ, only through our faith that is given to us by the Holy Spirit in Him, only in leaning on Him and having our lives built on Him, that we would have a life eternal. That's the only way we have hope. The son of the vineyard owner, the cornerstone of the building, this is the one we need. Later in the Bible, in Ephesians, Paul, again, is in Ephesians chapter 2, brings up the cornerstone and offers a different usage of it than we have here in our gospel reading. For through him, through Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. And so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. When we listen to Jesus, when we make him the cornerstone of our faith, when we listen to the Spirit who continues to work in our hearts every day, we are being built together into this holy temple for God. Rather than throwing out the servants of God, the Old Testament prophets or the apostles, when things are built on Christ Jesus, the whole structure is joined together, and we as fellow citizens are with saints, members of the household of God, with the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It's all built together. It's all there. All the saints who've gone before us, the apostles, the prophets, the people of old, everyone who had faith and trust in God, are all built together into one holy temple, all because of Jesus Christ. So we have offered before us the same thing I told the kids during the Young Time lesson. Which cornerstone do you have? Do we try to do things on our own and say, I don't need God's word. I don't need to trust in Jesus. Well, then that would put us in the camp that has a cornerstone that would crush and destroy. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're given faith in Jesus. You don't have a cornerstone of destruction. There, of course, will be a judgment day when that is coming. We know, though, that we have the cornerstone on which we're built for eternity. We have the cornerstone that gives you life, that gives you hope, that gives you a home and a family with a heavenly Father who loves you, with brothers and sisters in Christ who are also being cobbled together. Throughout our lives, maybe some of our stones need to be shaped a little more. I don't know about you, I still feel like a pretty lumpy stone. I think God still needs to chisel me a couple times and fit me into the right spot. But he continues to use us, our misshapen stones, our imperfections, and he builds us together on Christ as one holy church. As we draw ever closer still to Holy Week and to Easter, we have those three services together I mentioned, Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. The dichotomy, the darkness and the light from Good Friday and Easter. You see the son of the vineyard owner. You see the chief cornerstone, rejected, thrown out and destroyed, which would leave us with only a crumbling building. But you get the joy of Easter, knowing that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. He has defeated all sin, all death, and the power of the devil. And that no matter how hard the world might try to throw Jesus out, he is our ever-living, all-powerful cornerstone who will sustain his church on earth through all trial and trouble, who will sustain and protect you and build you into his temple, his family, and keep you with him through all eternity. This is God's love for you. And may the power of God continue to guard and protect your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.